Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I could sense this morning when we came in and sat down the Sunday school hour, and Brother Nathan got up and announced we're going to sing "I Love You, Lord." I'll tell you what, that touched my heart right there. A lot of things I love in life, but most of all, I love the Lord. And then the song about Calvary. And what a treat. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here this morning, to celebrate every, I know you know this, but every Sunday, it's not just because it's Sunday on the calendar, not just because the pastor said come to church. We come to celebrate the resurrected Christ. That's why we're here. Amen. The only difference between Christianity and every religion, Christianity is not necessarily, you may dispute this with me, but Christianity is not necessarily a religion. It's a way of life. The difference between Christianity and every religion that ever has been and ever will be is our God is alive. The rest of them can't say that. Amen. They don't have a living, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Oh, yes, he was at Calvary, and he bled, and he died, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But hallelujah, on the third day, the first day of the week, he rose again. Praise the Lord for that. We're honored to be here. It's always an exciting time for us to be in the Valley View Baptist Church in Creston. And we enjoy it here, and we love the plums too. Can we take some with us? No, we can't. When we leave here, Lord willing, when we leave here, we're on our way to Spokane, so we have to eat them all before we get to the border, right? So we've done that. We've sat at the border and ate grapes because we didn't want. How bad is that? There you go. I mean, how many grapes can you eat? Especially when there's a lineup behind you. And the officer, the customs officer, you can't share them with him. He doesn't want them. You're trying to be kind, but he doesn't want them. Well, God bless you. I'm excited about being here. And like I said, start Sunday school hour off with, I love you, Lord. It just says something to me. Very powerful. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. This morning I'm going to look at what the Lord has laid upon my heart, and it seems fitting already, although I do follow the leading of the Lord, but the way the service has gone and the Sunday school hour and so on. By the way, can I say this as an older person? Both my wife and I were saved as children, and can I say that the Sunday school influenced our lives? Back in those days, I remember as a 7-year-old or 8-year-old child in Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher would talk about Daniel, and had one morning we walked in and had the classroom set up like a cave, and pictures of lions in there. So we were all, I tell you what, we were all in the lion's den, the den of lions, I should say. Lion's den doesn't mean there's lions in there. Den of Lions does. And I never forgot that lesson. I encourage you, you folks that are involved in Sunday school, stay at it. You're rescuing. Hey, where are the children, should the Lord tarry his coming, where are children going to learn about the truths of the Bible? Sunday school. They're not going to learn at the public school. They're not going to learn at the library. They're not going to learn it from government documents. Somebody say amen. You know what I'm saying? So just keep at it. It's a labor of love. I pastored the same church for 30 years, and we built a Sunday school. We bought Sunday school buses. We bought buses that were no longer usable by the Board of Education, and we hauled children in Sunday school buses, and we had just, it's a lot of work. But you know what? It's God's plan. Because should the Lord tarry his coming, there is a future, and the future is our children and our grandchildren, And so just keep on going with the Sunday school. Amen. You never forget. You never forget those little choruses. Jesus loves me. This I know. Jesus, how about this one? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Do you know we live in a hateful world right now? Huh? I think you know that. From sunup to sundown and through the night. Yet, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get into the message here. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. We're going to concentrate on one word this morning, one phrase from one verse. But I want you to look at chapter number 1 and look at verse number 19, please. Chapter 1 and verse number 19 is alluded to in the song sung just a few moments ago. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot and without blemish. Did you notice that? The precious blood of Christ. Oh, can I ask you a question this morning before we go any further? Who is it that wrote this book? Who is it that God, the Holy Spirit, allowed to pen these words? Who was it? It was a fisherman. I grew up in eastern Canada. I was around fishermen. Fishermen are tough. Fishermen are, I'll just leave it at that, tough and sometimes pretty difficult to deal with. And you heard the expression, the language of a fisherman is not pleasant. And by the way, in this Bible we have, we could find in the Bible that when Jesus was in his most desperate hour and needed the love of his friends, who was it that cursed him and denied? It was Peter, the fisherman. Okay? But listen to this. In the book that he has penned here, one of the words we come across consistently is precious. That doesn't sound like the language of a fisherman. Can I say this morning? If the Jesus that you serve today has not changed your life, you've got another Jesus. Hello. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm saying that Peter's life was changed. Now, I realize it was a process with him, and it was a challenge. But God changed his life, and he penned these words. He's talked about the precious blood of Jesus. Then look at chapter number 2 and look at verse number 4. To whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but the chosen of God, speaking of Jesus, and look at the word again, precious. Already two times in the first two chapters of this book. But look down, please, at now verse number 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, what's the next word, class? Precious. Time number 3, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The Christian life, can I say this morning? The Christian life is not a confused or confusing life. This Bible's pretty clear, pretty plain. Yeah, there's a lot we don't understand. Brother, our teacher this morning in Sunday school talking about the book of Daniel, and there's so much there. There's more. I don't understand what I do understand. But what I do understand, hold it, this is it, this is a message. What I do understand is Jesus is precious. Precious blood, precious cornerstone, precious life. And then to top it all off, look please at verse number 7. Unto you therefore, which believe, who's that? Well, that's you. You're here this morning. This word is written to us today. It's for us today. Unto you, therefore, that's pretty good. Unto you, just take your finger, go like that. Unto me, unto you, therefore, which believe, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Guess what? He is precious. He is precious. For a few moments this morning, I want to just perhaps testify more than preach the fact that Jesus is precious to me. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I pray this morning you would do that which only you can do, that you stir our hearts. Lord, I cannot describe this morning. I will fail. I cannot describe how precious you are to me. It's beyond words. And I believe that that would be the same case for every blood-bought child of God here in this room today. I pray, dear God, you'd open our eyes a little further today and help us to leave this place understanding when we leave that it seems that you're more precious to us than when we came in, because we understand who you are, what you've done for us, and how great you really are. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. To you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. And yes, how much they obey him. We understand what precious is, don't we? Everybody in this room, you understand what precious means. Precious, something that's precious or someone that is precious means of high value or price, utmost, extreme, valuable, dear, something that is expensive. My mother used to say, well, that cost you a pretty penny, meaning that was precious. I mean, that's something very valuable right there. Priceless, invaluable, above all and beyond all. Would you agree with me this morning that life is precious? Mm-hmm. Life is very fragile. Yeah. Life is like an egg. I mean, you not understand the fragileness of life here today and gone tomorrow. We know that to be true, not only by the scripture, but by personal experience. So life is very precious. The heartbeat is very precious. You know, a child is very precious. I'm looking at the young children, and what a blessing to see so many young people in a church service such as this. That to me is precious, because children are precious. Jesus loves the little children. We mentioned that a while ago, how precious they are in his sight. That's precious. A grandchild is precious. A gesture is precious. A gift is precious. An event is precious. There are so many things that are precious to us. We know what precious really means. We understand what it means, don't we? To have something that's very precious, or have someone that's very precious. But I think this morning of the Lord Jesus Christ, to you, therefore, that believe, he is precious. Why? Because he's the altogether lovely one. Because he's the beloved. Because he's caring. Because he's deity, because he's eternal, and because he's faithful, and because he's holy, and because he's infinite, and because he's just, and because he's kind, and because he's loving, and because he's the master, and because he's the name above all names, and because he's the only begotten, full of grace and truth, because he's pleasing to God. He's precious. He's precious to me. He's precious to you. You see, the more you believe him, the more precious he is to you, as you trust and rely upon him. Think about it. It's a good idea to think. How about this, a little exercise this morning, and it's personal to you. How about taking this day, the 22nd day of September, and take some time, be it 5 minutes, be it 20 minutes, be it an hour, and just think. You know, it's a good thing to think in this day and time. Is it a good idea to take some time to think? We are so distracted by everything. But it's a good idea. How about just to closet yourself away and think about, how about this? Think of why Jesus is precious to you. Why is that? You have your reasons, you have your thoughts, I have my thoughts. The truth is that they ought to be the same thoughts for the most part, amen? Why he is precious to you and I. But why is he precious to you? Why is he precious to you today? What is on your mind that would tell you that Jesus is precious to you? Can I share a couple of things with you about why Jesus is precious to me? Number one thought is this: Jesus is precious to me because, listen to this, because of the distance that he came to reach me. He's precious to me because of the distance he came to reach me. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I have neighbors that, I live in a bit of a rural setting, and I guess my neighbor, my closest neighbor, is probably about 500 feet from me. But I mean, something can happen over at my place, and the neighbor can watch and say, oh, well, that's Mr. Arbo doing his thing over there. I don't really care about that. They only show up when they need some salt or sugar. They'll come across. You know what I'm saying? Some of you have people 50 feet from you, and the only time they care is when they need something, amen? I'm not being unkind, but it's just the truth. I'm probably the same way. But what I'm saying by this is he traveled a great distance for me. Huh? You know why I know that? Of course, the scripture tells us, but think about this. You know this song. He left the splendor, listen, he left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, where he laid down his life for me. If that isn't love, I don't know what is. I'm paraphrasing right there. But if that isn't love, I don't know what is. I love him. He's precious to me because of the distance he traveled for me. I don't know how far it is from here to heaven. I don't know. I'm sure there's some Bible scholars that would like to make a guess at that. I don't think they know either. Nor do you or I know, and we won't know till we get there. However, I do know this. I know it's a long distance. Would you agree with me there? Yes. This world ain't heaven, folks. As much as I love my life here, this isn't heaven and not where I want to spend eternity. I want to be in heaven someday, and I will be by the grace of God in heaven someday. But I was saved as a child, a young child. I was saved in the, what we called the parlor at home. Now you call it the living room or the rec room or the whatever room. But it was called the parlor where on a Saturday night, my dad and I sat in there, and I said to Dad, I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. I'm just a kid, but I really care about this. And he picked up his big Bible. It was a massive big Bible he had. And he brought it in there. We sat down in the parlor, and he took me through the Bible and showed me that I was a sinner and showed me that I needed salvation and showed me that Jesus was the only one that could save and that I needed to be forgiven of my sins and invite him into my heart and into my life and allow him to affect my life in the days ahead and so on. And he explained all that. And then we prayed together, and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. And I'll be honest with you, I've never had a doubt since that day that I invited Jesus into my heart that was the day I got saved. I know everybody can't say that. They may not have that confidence, but I had that confidence because I know that at that point, the Lord came into my life and changed my life. But this is the interesting thing. I was in a little, our address was Rural Route 2, 88 Highway. Well, isn't that something? I mean, how do you find a place like that? And it's the other side of the country, as I mentioned previous. I grew up in Eastern Canada. But I know that there was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, came from heaven and came down to a little 8-year-old boy in a place called Havelock, New Brunswick, and saved my wretched soul right there. And that was a distance of travel. And I'm glad today I appreciate, and he's precious to me because of the distance he traveled to save my soul. He went to the cross for me. He went to the cross for you. Isn't Jesus Christ precious to you today, knowing that he came, he left the splendor of heaven, he left the throne, he left the supremacy, he left his Father in heaven and came to a sin-cursed world where they did nothing but ridicule him and revile him and then take him one day and hang him on a tree, nail him there, and watch him bleed and die and curse as he was dying and spit in his face while he's dying for you and me. That's what he came to, so he could save my soul. He's precious to me. I don't know about you. I think you'd agree with me, though. He's precious to me. There's nothing more precious than the Lord Jesus Christ to me today. Someone wrote the song, out of the ivory palaces. Think about this. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. Because of his love and because of his grace. And by the way, because he had a strong desire to do the will of his Father in heaven, he came to this earth to bleed and die for you and me. I'm glad that that night, that my dad showed me how I can be saved. My soul, how the angels rejoiced when my heart called on him My name was inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it was written in there, folks, in blood, not pencil. Amen? There's no way, what I'm saying is there's no way anybody can take away my salvation from me because he saved me that day. I have eternal life. We live in a day where, you young people know this, everything starts with an E, doesn't it? I think of what it called banking, e-transfer. There's buses run up and down the highways down my way that have e-transfer on them. I don't know if they're carrying money or people, but no, they're e-buses. And everything is e. Well, we have eternal life. Everlasting life starts with e, amen? So understand there. You see, he traveled a great distance for me. That's all I'm saying. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit of God came one day to, on a Saturday night to that little place, rural route 2, 880 highway, and save my soul. I'm sure that in this room, there are many who have experienced this. Someone has traveled a great distance to see you, to visit with you. I pastored for a lot of years. And I remember we were having one special service. It was like you just recently had a special friend day service. And I think ours was a type of friend day. And there was a couple that had gotten saved at our church years previous and decided to move away, and they moved away to a distant province and so on, but they decided they heard about the special service, and so they drove for several days to get out to BC, and they came to the service and so on, and the lady said to me, she said, I bet nobody has ever traveled this far to see you on a special occasion. And I thanked her for the statement, but I said, but one, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love when people come to see me, but the truth is there's one that traveled further than anyone else that ever has, and I'm glad for that. That's why he's precious to me. He left the presence of his Father. He left heaven. He left his throne. He left the angelic choir. He left it all and came looking for me. Oh, how precious he is to me. He came and got me when he could have forgot me, but he came to me. That's why he's precious to me, because he came to me. He's precious because of the distance he came. I don't know how, hey, can I ask this question this morning? How long was the Lord seeking you? By the way, so I've heard folks say, I'm not being critical, I heard folks say, well, I looked for the Lord and I sought the Lord. My Bible tells me that he's seeking for you. Mm-hmm. He's spent a lifetime, your lifetime, seeking for you. And I wonder how some of us, maybe we did not accept the first time. Maybe we kept on running and kept on running and kept on running until finally the Lord caught up with us. But aren't you glad he came and sought for you and kept after you so that he could save your soul? And you could have eternal life. That's why he's precious to me, because of the distance that he traveled for me. Also, something else. Can I give you this thought this morning? Not only for the distance he traveled, the distance he came, but also for the dedication he commands. He's precious to me because of the dedication he commands. You recall when Jesus was on earth walking one day, he was walking with some friends, and he came, in Matthew chapter 9, he came upon a man who was at the receipt of customs. The guy everybody loves, the tax collector, was sitting there and everybody loves, no. And so he comes to him. He did not give him his website address. He did not give him his business card. He did not have a PowerPoint to show the man at customs there. He didn't have any of that stuff. He said, folks, listen to this. He said two words. This man was a tax collector. Do I need to say any more? He was a tax collector. He had a government job. He had a pension. He had a great future. He had a retirement coming up. I'll switch over here. There's a funny noise over on that side of the building. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? He had everything going his way. Jesus said to him two words. What were the two words? Thank you. Follow me. And what did the man do? He left his lunch. He left his retirement. He left all the benefits. He left a lot of, can I say, friends behind that were in the trade. And how much wealth did he leave behind? Follow Jesus. Two words. When someone can speak to, and by the way, some of you in this room have experienced this, where someone has spoken to you, maybe it's more than two words, but they've influenced your life and you follow the Lord because of what someone has said to you. That's powerful right there. We live in a day where we are influenced by, unfortunately, we're influenced by misinformation and disinformation and lies. Truth in this day and time for the believer, truth seems to be hate speech for the rest of the world. Yeah. But here's a man that said two words, follow me. And the man followed him because of his influence, because of the power of the words. You see, he looked at Matthew and said, follow me. And Matthew did. That's precious. Now, I know there's a lot of influence in this world and time, and we follow, it seems we follow very easily, many times in the wrong direction. We need to, that's why we need to pay heed to the Word of God and God's direction. This is a roadmap for life right here, the Bible. This ought to be your primary GPS, God's positioning system, amen, right here, so that we don't go down the wrong roads. I can speak again. Everyone has their own personal stories. I hope you don't mind me sharing mine. But I think about the story of Matthew. And I think about how one day the Lord spoke to my heart. We were in church. We were serving the Lord in a very good church. But the Lord came and knocked on my heart's door, as it were. I was assistant pastor at a wonderful church. I had a business. I was bivocational. Things were going very well. We had three children, two of which were in the Christian school at the church we attended. And we lived in again, this is my story. We lived in a 4,000 square foot home on a 5-acre piece of property built by a custom builder. Couldn't ask for anything more. We were living the dream. Can I say within 6 months of the Lord getting a hold of my heart and giving me direction that I believe was certain. My wife's here to witness this. We were living in a camper trailer headed to British Columbia from Ontario. And I stand here and say today, and I won't belabor you with the story, but I have, you can ask my wife, you can ask her privately, I have zero regrets because of the influence that God had on my life. He's precious to me because you know what? Okay, just a little bit of a side story. We lived on 5 acres, we had a big house, it was wonderful. It seemed the Lord blessed us. We didn't understand why. Neither one of us came from a home where we had much. But you know, 40 years I've been in British Columbia now. And after a number of years of serving the Lord and doing whatever God had for us, I'm living on an acreage with 5 acres and a nice house. Not fancy, but it's nice. You know what? The Lord takes care of you. Can I say that? That's why he's precious to me, because it's his word. It's not some pie in the sky. I'm not talking about the name it, claim it religion. I'm just talking about simply trusting God and following the leading of the Lord and understanding that whatever I do for him, he knows, he cares, and thus he's precious to me. What's your reason today that he's precious to you? Why is he precious to you? Because of the distance he traveled to save your soul, both through the cross and then coming to your, wherever it was, your saving place. Might have been at church, might have been downtown, might have been at home, might have been on the road, might have been in the hospital, might have been at work, but he's precious. because of the distance he traveled. He's precious because of the power of his words. He's precious to me. He's precious to me also for a number of other reasons, but I'm going to wind it down right there. But he's precious to me because of who he is. He's precious to me because of the nail scars in his hands. He's precious to me. Travel a great distance. Devotion he commanded. He's precious. We read a while ago, he's precious about the shed blood that he shed for you and me. I have three sons. I love my sons. I have seven grandchildren. I love my grandchildren. And I don't know, I have three sons, seven grandchildren. I couldn't give one of them up for anybody. Yet the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten one of a kind for you and for me. That's why he's precious to me. He's precious to me because his blood is precious. His blood was shed for me. He's precious. Oh, how about this? He's precious to me because he's the only, get this, he's the only one who can forgive sins. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The pastor can't forgive you of your sins. Your husband can't forgive you of your sins. Your wife can't forgive you of your sins. Your parents can't forgive you of your sins. The priest can't forgive you of your sins. The boss can't, you know, I know that seems, yeah, the boss will never forgive me for anything. But you know what I'm saying? Jesus is the one who forgives sins. He's precious to me because of his forgiveness. He's precious to me this morning because of the fact that he allows you and I to serve him. Isn't that amazing? How God allows you and I to do his bidding, to serve him at the local church right here and in the community day by day, week by week. The Bible says, we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's precious to me because you know what it is? I used to say, if a politician came to you and asked you to help them, you'd be honored, but I can't say that today. Sorry. I won't go that far. But some well-known person in the community asks you to do something to help them. You say, I've been invited by the mayor, you know, to pick apples at his orchard, if he has one here. You know what I'm saying. But yet, think about this. The one who died for you and me has allowed us to have opportunity to serve him, to be in the Lord's service. How great is that? That's why he's precious to me. And then, how about the destiny he provides? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's precious to me because you know what it's like if someone were to take you into their home and provide living quarters for them, for you rather, and take care of everything. That'd be very valuable to you. If you were homeless, I got news for you this morning. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And he's precious to me this morning because he's made an eternal dwelling place for me with him in heaven. Aren't you glad for that? We'll all be there one day. Everyone has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, with that in mind, he's precious to me. Why is he precious to you? I asked that this morning to you. You've got your reasons. I'm sure you have. But he is precious to me. To those who believe, he is precious. Can I ask you this question in closing this morning? Do you believe? Has there been a time when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone? understanding that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But he says unto me, he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, I will give you forgiveness. Come unto me, I will save your soul. Come unto me, I will prepare a place for you in heaven. But it's up to you. It's a decision you must make. Amen? It's taught so well in our Sunday school class. The Lord does not manipulate us. The Lord does not barge into our lives. He is one who respects. That's why we read in the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He doesn't just kick the door and say, I'm coming in to take control. No, think of the power in your hand this morning. It's up to you where you spend eternity. It's your decision. That's up to you. You can't put that onus on anybody else. That's you. Either you accept or you reject. What will you do with Jesus Christ? That's the question. He can, if this morning you do not have assurance of your salvation, he can be very precious to you because he can be your Savior, the one who gives eternal life, forgives sins, and provides a place in heaven. I believe I could say this morning, that everybody in this room is a Christian, a believer. He's precious to us, isn't he? Amen. He's so precious to me. Someone penned these words. So precious is Jesus, my Savior and King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To him in my weakness I can cling, for he is so precious to me. I praise him because he appointed a place where someday through faith in his wonderful grace, I know I shall see him and look on his face, for he is so precious to me. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning I pray that you'd help us to again rekindle the preciousness in our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you've done such a marvelous thing by offering us salvation. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us in the closing moments of this service. I pray that if there be one person here that has never put their faith and trust in Jesus, that today they'd be willing to do just that. I pray that you draw them to yourself. But I pray also for the believers in this room. I pray, dear Lord, we would take some time today just to give some thought to this matter of the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who is above our understanding of value, that one who is of utmost importance, that one who is supreme, that one who is our all in all. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd help us again to rekindle that thought in our lives, that he, above all, above everything, he is precious to me. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to just at the closing of the service here, just let's take just a moment. You remain right in your seats, it'll be fine. And just take a moment and express to the Lord, it's entirely up to you, but take a moment, express to the Lord how precious he is to you. And again, as I say, if there's someone here who is not certain of their salvation, please don't leave this place till you get that cleared up. Come and talk to myself, talk with my wife, talk with other folks from the church here. We'd love to have the opportunity to make it very clear to you how you can know for sure that you're going to go to heaven someday, and that Jesus can be precious to you today beyond your own understanding. Just a moment of silent prayer, then we'll dismiss the service. Now, our gracious Heavenly Father, I would like to again express my love for you. Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize, Lord, that there's nothing that dwells in this flesh that is good. But Lord, you came to me and saved my soul. And for that, I'm so thankful and so grateful. And because of that, you are so precious to me beyond my own understanding. Precious because of how you changed my life. Precious because of how you've forgiven me. Precious because of a home you provided for me. And the same for my friends gathered here today. I pray, dear Lord, that we would spend time today just worshiping you and to again express to you your preciousness in our lives. I thank you for each person here. I thank you for their attentiveness, and I thank you for their life. I pray you continue to keep your blessed hand upon them. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.